This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us on The Morning Run. You're with Julian Ng, Lynn Mark and Sharat Abdullah. And coming up in about half an hour's time is The Breakfast Grill. I will be speaking to Gavin Lim, CEO of HWG. G Capital. Last year, Hoa Genting Group issued Southeast Asia's largest licensed cash token called the HWG Cash. And this is based on blockchain technology. So we'll not only be speaking about the business of the cash token, but also discuss broader issues in cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology. So stay tuned for that after the 8 a.m. news. Back to the discussion on what's happening in the business world. China is releasing its GDP numbers tomorrow. These are eagerly awaited numbers. And this is coming on the back of some economic recovery, signs of economic recovery coming out of China, as indicated by the positive Purchasing Managers Index as well as export numbers.
Yes, so the Chinese government has targeted growth of between 6 and 6.5%. Analysts polled by Reuters are projecting that growth has cooled further to about 6.3%. So some say it will be lower, 6.1 or 6.2%. Now, that is still within the government's target, but it's lower than it was in the fourth quarter of 2018, which was a 6.4% year on year.
And we have Rajiv Biswas on the line. He's Asia-Pacific Chief Economist at IHS Markit. Good morning, Rajiv. China's GDP announcement is coming amid trade tensions, strong US job numbers, plus positive business conditions and exports in China. What are your expectations for tomorrow?
Our expectations are that the first quarter GDP will be 6.3%, which is just a touch lower than the fourth quarter of last year. That's because we've still seen some weakness in the export sector in China and somewhat softer manufacturing numbers in the early months. But there are signs of stabilization coming through. So when we look at the year as a whole, we are expecting some improvement in the middle of the year, slightly better momentum coming through compared with the first quarter.
Now, Rajiv, imports shrank, suggesting a weaker domestic demand. What are the implications of this?
I think when we look at the early part of this year, we're still seeing some of the lagged effects of weakening consumer sentiment that was evident in the latter part of 2018 because of a lot of concerns in China about the impact of the trade war with the U.S. However, because of the improving signals coming out of both the U.S. negotiators and the Chinese trade negotiators that some sort of deal could likely happen quite soon, the momentum in terms of sentiment is showing some improvement. And the most obvious signal of that is the Shanghai Stock Exchange, which really has steadily improved in recent months since President Xi and President Trump agreed to the trade war truce, and as their negotiators have been working on a text of a trade deal. We won't know the outcome till they have their summit officially declared, but right now there's certainly a lot more positive rhetoric coming out of both sides. So I think that is helping to improve sentiment. And that will eventually flow into things like auto sales. We saw very weak auto sales at the end of last year and early this year, and other durable goods like smartphone sales also fell quite significantly at the end of last year. But these should stabilize and improve into the middle of this year as the trade deal is done between the U.S. and China.
Now, Rajiv, on the recent stimulus package, it's targeted to boost the economy. Now, is the stimulus enough to trigger a self-sustained recovery since global trade is slowing?
Well, certainly we are seeing significant stimulus measures coming from China in terms of monetary policy stimulus through cutting the reserve requirement ratio, which injects more liquidity into the corporate sector, and also through fiscal stimulus with some reductions in taxation, particularly indirect taxation, and also a boosting of fiscal stimulus in infrastructure spending. So these things are helping to improve growth momentum. We are already seeing the manufacturing sector showing some improvement in terms of the Purchasing Manager Index for the month of March, which returned positive growth. And what's really interesting is that we've seen quite a rebound in new export orders already coming through in the early months of this year, because I think U.S. buyers are starting to have more confidence that there will be a trade deal. There won't be higher U.S. tariffs on Chinese imports, and therefore they're still comfortable to order from China. So I think all of these things are helping to stabilize the economy. We don't expect a very huge rebound in momentum, but somewhat better growth momentum during the coming months. And so for the year as a whole, we think China can grow at about 6.3% in 2019, which is about in the middle of where the government's targeting in their range of 6 to 6.5%.
Thank you so much for joining us. And that was Rajiv Biswas at IHS Markets in Singapore, giving some kind of indication to what to expect from the China GDP first quarter numbers that would be out tomorrow. I get the sense that he's really excited about what's happening in China, along with the analysts, at least some degree of optimism, because 6.3%, a middle of the ground, not a hard landing.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when we were speaking about what has the stimulus package, how it has impacted the economy in China, and you know, we've seen some improvement on the manufacturing sector as well as on the US side. Consumer sentiment are on the increase.
And speaking about excitement, China Volkswagen is seeking to aggressively expand its China push. CEO Herbert Des told reporters in Shanghai that the Chinese market is leading a global shift towards electric vehicles.
Yes, so he's also said that China will take on a bigger role for VW as both a production hub as well as a research center. Now, the company plans to deliver 22 million battery electric vehicles by 2028, with more than half of them made in China. The VW's chances of boosting equity ties in China have risen as authorities have eased restrictions for foreign manufacturers.
Yeah, so just a little bit of a background. So Volkswagen was one of the first foreign automakers that has entered China 3 decades ago, and has, you know, they've had joint ventures with two of China's largest manufacturers, which is SAIC Motor Corp as well as FAW Car. So they are now exploring options to acquire a stake in its third partner, Anhui Zhenghuai Automobile Group Corporation, as well as so China in total accounts for about 40% of Volkswagen Group global deliveries.
But apparently, as with all things in China, there is a bubble in the electric car market in China, 18 billion bubble.
Yes, so this is something that Bloomberg has cautioned against, that the EV market in China could be in danger of bursting, because it says, you know, there are too many players. There are just short of 500 EV manufacturers registered in China, more than triple the number from 2 years ago. Dozens of startups have raised $18 billion since 2011. This is according to Bloomberg's estimate, and most of the biggest fundraisers are Chinese. So this includes NIO, WM Motor, XPeng Motors, as well as Yosia Motors. China's also attracted investments from titans of the internet, so electronics as well as real estate industries in China, apart from traditional automakers.
Yeah, I think that with the recent problems in Grab, with the drivers not wanting to register themselves, license themselves, and having their cars checked at Puspa.com, perhaps Grab in future could invest into driverless cars, right? And that would be very interesting. But also that would mean that you would need for the Waze or Google Maps to be very accurate, not take you around in circles in a driverless car.
But don't forget the number of people who are going to lose their job as well, Julian.
Yes, I'm not excited about that part of the equation. All right, talking about sustainability, Petronas goes into renewable energy. We'll talk about that next. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.